Hey guys, just to let you know, unfortunately, we've had to reschedule our live show, which was going to take place on May 18th in the Workman's. We will be letting you know about the rescheduled date as soon as we have the details ironed out. So stay tuned for more details on when we will be having our first live show.
Energy sources we like, renewable. Some sweets are hard and others are chewable. Bank accounts, well, interests accruable. We believe that everything's renewable.
I don't like it.
Ooh, I like that. I'm not too sure about that. That's pretty good.
This is Reviewables, the weekly podcast that puts the world to rights one review at a time. I'm sitting on a different chair to normal and it's pissing me off already.
Is it throwing off your review chi?
My review chi?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's doing, Edwin.
It sounds like some sort of Japanese pocket robot thing.
Yeah, Tamagotchis and the lesser known review chi ripoff.
That you pointlessly feed batteries to.
Today's special guest is... George, looking at me as if he can't believe a podcast could have started so professionally. It's George Fox.
Hey. Is it starting?
Yeah, we're done. Started. We're started.
Okay. Good, I'm on board.
Okay.
So, where are the bodies buried?
Everywhere.
George Fox, facts contributor.
Yes, is that my first thing now? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to list things. Comedian, facts contributor. Is it a facts contributor or do you have another name like Facty, Factoids?
I think it's a facts contributor.
The fact gang. Captain Facts and the Factineers.
Yeah. Internet human lab rat.
Internet human hybrid.
Yeah, it's misleading, actually, the facts channel. I've got a bone to pick with the facts channel.
It's mostly opinions.
It's mostly opinions.
Yeah.
It's mostly...
It's all opinions.
Then again...
What this is like. It's not like you go on and it says, did you know that the Cretaceous period was the most plentiful period for marigolds in the pre-dinosaur age?
But then again, people in glass podcasts...
None of that makes sense.
...should not throw stones because we rarely review anything on this podcast.
Yeah.
So, George, what would you like to review today now that we've got all that...
All that preamble out.
Well, I wouldn't call it preamble. I'd call it
It's all going in.
Admin, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking what I would like to review is the apocalypse. Armageddon, the end of days.
You're either reviewing mediocre movies or the actual
apocalypse.
Great.
We could talk about the movies that
we might reference
that.
Them. Who knows what will happen in this
review.
I suppose we could review how it's portrayed. Because we can't review the actual apocalypse.
Or can we, George?
Maybe.
I don't know. We don't know yet. But I give you my top five apocalypses.
You were going to say, actually, I'm a time-traveling immortal and I've seen the apocalypse.
The shit I've seen. Harrison Ford, Star Wars. Every quote I give is going to be, I'm going to attribute it to something else.
Someone says it. Anyway, go on.
I would have
loved that scene in Blade Runner if he'd pushed a little bit harder and said, like, what else have you seen? Things you wouldn't believe. Like what?
Yeah.
Like a really tall, such a huge sandwich, very tall on Mars. Very tall.
That's the new Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
The world is still going in 2049. It looks very dour and...
It does.
Looks beautifully shot, but kind of depressing.
Harrison Ford...
No apocalypse there?
...is older now, so does that mean he wasn't an android?
A common mistake there, Keen. He's actually a replicant, not an android.
Skin jobs,
similar to a synthetic. I think the real question is whether Ryan Gosling's character K is
a culty nerd, is a replicant or not.
Do you think that's a real question? I don't think they're going to do that again. That would be a terrible idea.
I think they're going to flip it around. I think you're going to assume he's a replicant the whole movie.
And then at the end,
it turns out he's a human. He's going to find that out.
Well, here's the thing. I hope there's voiceover. Because I did not understand the other one without the voiceover. And I'm glad they put it on.
It was so confusing.
The voiceover is the most... Mm. It's the
Jerry, put on that voiceover.
Harrison Ford
sounds... Is this the director's cut? Fuck this.
He sounds like...
He couldn't give a shit.
He really hates it. He's like, I have my contract.
He did hate it.
Oh, everyone hated it.
Yeah.
So but, the apocalypse.
Yeah. This also brings me around to my re-review for later. I have written down Harrison Ford and Bruce Willis is what
amazing.
I have written down.
I'll write those
which
down.
Is, okay. Which is amazing.
I was going to talk about Harrison Ford, but we'll save it.
We'll save it.
So what would your favorite apocalypse be? Your favorite apocalypse scenario.
Okay. Well, let's geez,
top
Louise.
Five apocalypse.
I'll give you top five. Worst to best.
Worst to best. I love that list. And we don't have enough lists on reviewables. Yeah. So
this is what I'm bringing to the game. Perfect. Hastily put together list. I think number five, my top five, least interesting, is the robot uprising.
Yep.
I feel. And I feel like it's disappointing because the robot uprising that we see in movies is robots walking around, mm-hmm. Terminator style, stamping on people's, a big pile of skulls. I don't know why they piled the skulls like that. It seems like a weird thing to do, to just pile a bunch of skulls.
The robots did it just so they can do that cool James Cameron shot of a skull being smashed by a robot foot.
But did one robot do it thinking like, this is my art? Like, that's that one robot that's like, I'm getting in touch with my humanity by piling these skulls. And it's like, I respect your skulls. They are my canvas. But that's what the end game is, maybe, for robots. But we're already experiencing the first days of robots taking over. And it's the dullest thing ever. It's just machines in Tesco that you scan your things in, machines that put together cars in power plants. That's the most incredibly boring start to an apocalypse that I could possibly imagine. It's just getting frustrated at a machine not recognizing the bottle of water that you've put in. I think a good apocalypse needs either a sudden start, or it needs to escalate in a big way. And this is just too dull. It's too dull to start.
Well, yeah, a robot apocalypse would take too long.
Lasers. They need to start installing lasers into those self-service checkouts to really get the robot uprising effect.
But I do.
Like, as soon as you say, it's not an unexpected item, it's my shopping, it goes pew, and you're gone. Next customer, please.
Shoot your kids or shoot someone around you.
I always go when it says, please take your items.
But people still queue up to use it because they don't want to talk to someone.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
No, totally.
Yeah, it might shoot me, but still, I think
the apocalypse could come from the lack of human interaction and experience that we don't want. We don't want to, because you can,
the human experience.
You can get someone to shop for you.
A robot will be able to just come to your door with the shopping soon.
Yeah, that idea that you can hire a robot that's like, it pretends to be your nephew or something, and drops in and goes, "Hey, Aunt, I am dropping off the bags." And you're like, ah. How are things? Are you playing the football still?
Jeez, they're getting awful big.
I am the exact same way that I was built.
You wouldn't be one of those gay robots, would you? Because if you were, that'd be fine.
Just don't tell your uncle.
Don't tell your uncle Bigotbot 5000. I don't mind them. I just don't want them living near me. Oh, come on, Bigotbot.
He's just got an old-fashioned CPU.
I wouldn't want one rebooting my daughter.
I liked it.
It's not my fault. I'm just programmed that way. Jessica Rabbit, Westworld.
It's just the way I was coded. It's just the way I was coded.
Your quote game is amazing today. It's brilliant.
It's pretty good.
I think we could do a spin-off podcast called Quotables, where you just quote things incorrectly.
Incorrectable quotes.
Okay, so after the robot uprising, what's the next least exciting?
I think the next least exciting is nuclear war.
Yeah,
because that's becoming more and more inevitable these days.
It's inevitable. It's just been hanging over our heads for too long. The heyday was the 70s. 60s and 70s were like, oh God, it could happen any day. Yeah. And now
the golden age.
Hey, duck and cover and all
golden
that.
Golden age of fear. And nowadays you're just like, whatever, I'd be dead in a second.
It's probably greater than it was back in the 60s. It's just because, oh my God, nuclear war. Oh my God. This kitten video is amazing.
Or
someone will make a funny meme or a funny gif about how North Korea can't launch their weapons.
Oh, there would be an actual nuclear launch and people would be racing to Twitter to get the jokes in. What's the hashtag? Wait, what's the hashtag for the nuclear apocalypse? Nuclear apocalypse is way too long.
There's like some America launches nukes on North Korea and people start going, I hope zombies don't happen because I don't want to see Kim Jong undead.
Excellent. Now and into the bunker. Get 100 more followers before the servers go down.
People refusing to go into a bunker because it doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Or people going into someone's bunker, the neighbor's bunker, there's like an awkward silence as the hatch is closed. And then someone says, what's your password for the Wi-Fi? Oh, we won't have that anymore. Harrison Ford, Blade Runner.
So the thing that annoys me about the nuclear war is the fact that a nuclear bomb is going to destroy things completely where it lands.
Yep.
And where a nuclear bomb does not hit, it's basically just normal. So I don't know, whenever they show them in movies, everything's demolished and falling apart. And you're like, well, no, if there was a nuclear bomb there, it would be gone. And if there isn't, then you're far enough away to not really be blown up.
You might be just dying from radiation poisoning. Mm. But
there will still be places in the world that are just totally fine and we're not blown up at all.
Just put some warning tape around the area that's affected.
Yeah. I do like the idea.
Like what they do with Chernobyl.
That totally worked.
Chernobyl, where trees grow upside down.
Oh, there is warning tape. I must go home and boil my potatoes.
Potatoes.
Dr. Zhivago.
I feel like, see, I'm so nervous with doing facts that I'm nervous even when I make jokes about things that people are going to come and go, well, what is funny about that? You do oil potatoes. It makes them far nicer in the winter months.
You don't have to worry about that. Nobody listens or comments to the show.
That's not true. Hey, listeners, get us on Reviewables Pod and prove George wrong or Edwin wrong.
That's what I said.
Prove me wrong by writing a one-star review that references oil on potatoes.
Hey, guys, just review us because that's what we're here for.
Robot Apocalypse, pretty organized.
Boring.
But boring. Nuclear apocalypse, a little bit too messy.
Mm.
And instant for some
people.
And
there's loads of places you can't go. And then I like the idea of mutations. That's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has been all weird and Omega big. Man. Like a big spider, a big fly.
I have a funny feeling that it's not going to happen as neatly as just something getting big and turning poisonous. It'll be more like, oh, look at that horrible death that creature is undergoing now.
It's actually a person.
Oh, no.
Gangs of mutants would keep it interesting for you, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, if they had cool handshakes and stuff.
With Chuck Heston going around. Get your goddamn mutant hands off me, you stinking mutant. Planet of the Mutants. I think I know what your favourite apocalypse is going to be. What's going to be top of the list. But
Save it for the end of the list there.
Okay, we'll come to number three. Number three, I think, is Asteroid. Because this is just boring. I think it's
Very, very likely, though. That's highly
It's incredibly likely.
It's not as likely as a nuclear war, to be honest.
In our lifetimes.
It's just as probable.
In terms of the history of the Earth, has to happen, basically, at some point.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
But I feel like it's boring, because when you see it in movies, it's not even that exciting.
You're sending people up on top. Steve Buscemi's up there.
Yeah.
You're sending people up. And they definitely know they're gonna. There's never been a movie where they've sent astronauts up to deal with an asteroid where they haven't had to kill themselves to blow up the asteroid.
I can only think of one movie where they send guys up to deal with an asteroid, and that's what happened in it. So yeah, you're right.
There's Deep Impact as well.
Do they send people up in Deep Impact?
They do, and the only thing they can think to do is to fly their ship into the middle of the asteroid, which splits it in two, and the large bit misses Earth, but the small bit still hits. So they still get their apocalypse.
Just not a total planet killer.
Yeah.
I can't really remember.
And Elijah Wood goes with a girl up to the top of a mountain with her little sister. And her parents.
Is this in the movie or is this just unrelated?
This is what he did the weekend the movie came out. I'm just reading BuzzFeed.
Lost his virginity.
This is things that
Elijah Wood lost his virginity after seeing Deep Impact.
He panicked and said, "We got to get up the mountain."
I thought it was a different kind of movie with that title. Elijah Wood. Yeah, you may remember me as Frodo.
I see what you're doing.
Flawless Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Asteroids. Asteroids. Pretty.
Pretty dull.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it's a retread. It's a sequel.
We've done it.
We did it. Killed the dinosaurs. It was great. Loved it the first time. Don't come back and do a second one.
Because then they're going to have to, the asteroid's going to have a little sidekick or something.
It's going to need to be two asteroids. Or the asteroid's going to need to be radioactive or something.
Yeah. Or this time it's going to be a female asteroid.
Can the asteroid talk? Can it be like urban and snappy?
Yeah, it's going to be a wisecracking asteroid.
Can you grey the planet.
It's voiced by Queen
Get out
Latifah.
Of my way. I'm going to hit you.
So what's number two on the list?
You don't want to include, it came from the blackness of space. What do you mean, blackness of space?
What do you mean, you people?
I didn't even say that.
Okay, Let's crack on with this list.
Yes. So number two is zombies.
Oh, zombies. I thought that was going to be number one.
I bet you did.
Because that's the most fun.
Yeah, oh, totally.
That's the most fun.
Where I think
so many activities. So many different weapons you can choose.
Activities and
you know, here, let's put some fucking razor wire on this Ford Cortina.
And do you think they're going to be classic, slow moving? Or
definitely slow moving zombies.
The runny fast ones are they're great to watch in film, but
you're dead immediately.
You get stuck on one train to Busan, and then that's
exactly what I was thinking about. Was train to Busan? Yeah, they just all pile up and grab on
you on the train, and they're hanging on.
And they're hanging on. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's a great film.
Fast zombies are
terrifying.
They're terrifying, but I guess they need a sexy immediate threat. Because for me, the old Romero zombie movies, that's the classic zombie thing.
Exactly, because it's an encroaching threat. It's something that you need to sleep, you need to eat. They are always walking slowly.
And they outnumber you like 10 to 1. Mm. A slow zombie apocalypse, it'd be the most fun.
You have the time to contemplate, which I think you need.
Yeah.
If you're just running the whole time, you look at 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later and you just kind of go, all right. That's just a roller coaster ride. There's no time to think. It's just that feeling of, oh, the thing is after me.
Whereas, do go shopping and listen to Granddaddy at one point.
Yeah.
They do.
Right. It's not all bad.
Yeah. But Dawn of the Dead, I like that kind of, the idea that it's the apocalypse and they're bored out of their minds.
Yeah.
But you still have to. They're just in that gilded cage going, oh, I'm so fucking bored.
Yeah.
But there's thousands of people outside that want to eat me alive. It should be exciting.
It's like being a celebrity.
It's One Direction's life.
Yeah. Have you ever devised a sort of...
Kill a zombie?
No. Have you ever killed a zombie in practice? Just a practice kill?
I think he was a zombie.
Felt like a zombie.
Have you devised a sort of a zombie survival? Like, what would happen?
I know where
would you go?
That's my story. Where I go?
Come on.
Okay. I think the best place to go is Spike Island in Cork.
Okay.
Because it used to be a prison for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of fell apart and it was abandoned for a long time. And then recently it's been done up again.
It's an artisan coffee shop now, isn't it?
It could be, yeah. Well, it was done up for a while as a young offenders center, but they destroyed a lot of the stuff. There was just so much hassle that they got rid of them as well. It was just too much hassle. So it's a perfectly placed...
These delinquents are too rowdy. Can't keep them here on this nice island.
Yeah. So they got rid of them. And it was just abandoned for a long time last time I checked a few years ago.
That's good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Although, are these zombies that can walk underwater?
Yeah, yeah. That's
I don't think they can. I think they get swept away. They get swept away.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
You don't see that a lot.
Enough with the coast, they won't see you. But the amazing thing is that farmers for a long time have lobbied to try and farm on Spike Island because the ground there is so fertile that they'd be able to grow crops. So you'd be able to get your food on the island. You have all these walls to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're able to, if you want, get in a boat and go straight into the city where the heart of all the zombies are, get supplies, etc. It's great.
So there you go, folks. If the zombie apocalypse happens, just head out to Spike Island.
Hey,
here's the pouch.
I'll be waiting to murder you. Get off my island. I claim
it. Of course, the fact that you live in Dublin, you'd have to make it to Cork.
I know.
Yeah, but Irish Ale offer great rates.
Great deals. That's why this podcast is sponsored by
Irish Ale.
It just sounds like a good plot to a movie.
Yeah.
Two lads get on bikes and cycle down to Cork.
Yeah.
It's the young offenders. It's the undead offenders.
The undead offenders. I like it.
But here's the thing as well. If you couldn't get out of Dublin, if you had to, you know, if it was, you didn't have transport, where would you go in Dublin?
Yeah, if you had an hour to get to a location.
I kind of think that the SIPTU building on the Keys might be good because it's up.
It's very tall up, but if
but then you
a
see,
bunch of people gather around, you're not getting out ever.
Yeah.
Hot air balloon.
There you go.
Because you don't want to go. I mean, if you go to a building, you're cornering yourself.
I thought you were just saying if you're going to travel in the apocalypse, might as well do it in style.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a picnic. We got a glass of champagne and Sinatra on the sound system.
I'd go to the docks. I'd steal a boat.
I'd become a prostitute.
I'd turn tricks just for old time's sake.
Worried about getting eaten? You should be. This male hooker is here to save your day.
I'm going to go turn tricks down at the docks. Pretty Woman.
I believe Richard Gere said
Richard Gere,
it.
Pretty Woman.
Okay, so what's the number one?
Number one is the vague, subtly alluded to apocalypse that you never know what actually happened. That is in all movies. I think that is the best one, where you see characters go like, it's been 4 years since the event. You never, is it aliens? Is it one of the previous four options?
Was it a poorly organized Eurovision Song Contest that just went completely out of hand?
Just one tweet went too viral.
Exactly. It was just that...
it's infected all the servers.
That's the one that people like these days.
Yeah.
You know, the road.
Because you can embellish, you can come up with your own one, you can imagine what it is, and it doesn't... For all we know, the road could be a story about Trump.
Yeah.
It could be a story about Kim Jong-un. It could be a story about the time that they figured out how to make cancer airborne.
Put it on a plane.
Yeah.
AIDS on a plane.
I'm so sick of this motherfucking AIDS on this motherfucking plane.
That's just about one guy who has AIDS. He's flying to get treatment.
Yeah.
And it's called AIDS on a Plane. We've totally missold this film with the title. It's actually a heartwarming drama about one man overcoming his illness and learning to live again despite the inevitability of death. But now we've just got to put in these mutant AIDS viruses that are attacking Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, well, shouldn't have made the poster before we saw the script. Onwards and upwards,
gotta
guys.
Gotta do it.
It reminds me of Children of Men, that movie where...
Yes. They don't tell... That's another alluded to one, isn't it?
Just really enjoyable.
People stop people stop procreating.
Yeah. Mm. And is that what causes society to break down in that one? Or is that a...
it's not that people stop. Not that they say, here, look, no more shagging. No more babies.
Yeah.
It's just people become infertile.
Are you sure it's not just people slowly realize, man, it's without kids.
No one's been born for 20 years.
I can sleep in every weekend.
Actually, because it disproves that theory of if I didn't have kids, I'd have my own life. You know, like, you're always complaining about that, Keith.
I know, yeah.
You want to go gambling with the boys?
Gambling with the boys.
Hanging out the corner.
Welcome to Gambling with the Boys, the podcast.
Smoking fags with the elbow out.
We're going out to the 90 degree angle. Gamble with our chances of getting an STD. Let's go, boys.
Review and new, where we give our guests a chance to reappraise their opinion on something they loved and once hated, or vice versa. You're not allowed to reappraise the film vice versa, though.
Or the chocolates.
So, George.
Well, looking at this list of things, looking at apocalypses, I had to get intrigued again by the movie Armageddon, which features Bruce Willis. And then that led me down the road of thinking about how, as a child, I loved Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis was the coolest.
We all did, because he was.
And now, Bruce Willis, 2017.
Bruce Willis, 2017. But that's, what election is he running for? That's a terrible slogan. Yeah.
What a douche. Yeah. And
who's his running mate?
Yeah.
As a child, Harrison Ford was the coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
And now, in the modern day, Harrison Ford, what a douche. And it's this feeling of these cool guys that we grew up seeing, I'd like to review again and go, oh man, they do not get it at all. They do not get the appeal of themselves.
They haven't aged well.
No.
Harrison Ford looks well for his age.
For his age, totally.
But man, he hates people who work on golf courses. He's always trying to kill them with his planes.
He's flying over going, God damn, 18 hole looks terrible. I fucking hate golf.
You know when he crashed that plane, someone went, oh my God, are you okay? Oh, Harrison Ford, are you okay?
I'm just trying to live a private life. Leave me alone. But your legs are broken. Please, just... Don't.
Han Solo dies. You're like, well, I haven't seen the movie. I'm trying to help you. Don't ruin it for me.
It doesn't come out for another month. You bollocks.
Can you feel that, Mr. Ford? I don't care about the Han Solo prequel. I'm not asking. Why are you being an asshole about this? Other people are very excited about it.
I
don't care. You're making a lot of money. Can you pretend for
alone.
A minute?
I just want to be treated the same as any other famous actor who's crashed a plane on a golf course.
What I don't understand is that he supposedly loves Indiana Jones. That's the thing that he's like, oh, that's the character I get. And people go, oh man, I love Indiana Jones. And he's like, yeah, whatever. That's the best you can get out of him. It's better than this Harrison Ford one, which is,
I wanted to kill him in 1984. And you're like, dude.
Yeah.
His Han Solo one.
His Han Solo. Yeah, he wanted Han Solo to die in, like, Return of the Jedi.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
He pushed for that for a long time. So imagine someone going, your character means so much to me. I wanted to kill him off so fast.
But in fairness,
he goes around with a t-shirt that says, Han didn't shoot first, just to piss off the fans.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when you compare people like him and Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is also...
He was
insufferable.
Yeah, but
he's terrible.
Yeah.
Moonlighting, but I don't Die think Hard.
He likes moonlighting. When people go to him, oh man, I love moonlighting.
Yeah,
that was so funny.
I love when you were, remember you were a top 10 artist in the 80s, a musician,
yeah.
Bruce Willis? I'm talking to you about the thing that you love. That's just this mumble. Yeah. They don't give a shit.
Under the boardwalk.
Under the boardwalk. Song
about,
10 hit.
Yeah.
Oh,
song
yes.
about buying heroin on the beach.
Forgot about Under the Boardwalk.
And he's such a cool guy. And then you just see him, you're like, oh man, I can't take him seriously in any movie. Especially when you look at Bruce Willis and you go, man, you are in so many kind of genre, like Fifth Element, Sin City, you know, obviously it's Die Hard as well, but like 12 Monkeys, Sixth Sense, such an eclectic series of genre
Cop
movies.
Out.
But he has no interest in any of that. He's like, I just appear. I meet the director, and if they're weird and nerdy, I go, I'll do this. Like, that's what it feels like. But when we compare them to the good actors, I feel, who have aged well and love their old stuff, I feel like
Morgan
the key
Freeman.
One, Kurt Russell.
Yes.
You walked up to Kurt Russell, whether you mentioned
and
to
you
him,
said, Overboard, and he'd go,
if you said
Goldie.
Overboard, if you said The Thing,
is
if you said
Escape
from New York.
Is that not the Kurt Russell film that jumps out for all men? Overboard?
So if you said Captain Ron to him, man, Captain Ron is the bomb, Kurt Russell would give you a hug and say, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell's the best.
Also, Kurt Russell is the best Elvis.
Oh, yeah, ooh. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Kurt Russell as Elvis?
No.
Yeah, he's great. Really good.
He's really
that's
good.
Directed by John Carpenter as well.
Yeah,
and
he was late in a, 70s one.
Yeah,
he was in an Elvis movie.
Yeah.
When he was a kid.
He
kicked Elvis on the shin.
Yeah.
And he said, someday I'm going to play you, and he ran away.
Yeah, and then Elvis went, a little kid just kicked me in the shin. Because the songs were terrible.
Songs were
I think the movie was called That Little Fucker.
That Little Fucker, I know it well. Yes.
What a little fucker.
That was, you know, the words change meaning. Back then, fucker was just like a little term of endearment.
Come here, you little fucker.
There was a whole series of books called Grandma's Little Fucker.
There was Goose Fuckers, the series for kids, the horror books.
Yeah.
R.L. Stine, great books.
The second in the series of Harry Potter, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Fuckers. But I personally prefer Fuckers of Azkaban.
And Enid Blyton had the... Enid Blyton, I can never say her name properly. Enid Blyton had the... that series.
The famous five fuckers.
Fuckers ho! They all get together.
Five fuckers on Pirate Island. You know, that sort of shit.
Review a hoop.
Who is it? Or what? Or what?
Great. Review a hoop. I've trawled the internet for the worst and the best of consumer reviews, and it's up to Edwin and George to tell me what's been reviewed based on the reviews.
We need buzzer noises. My buzzer noise would be Harrison Ford being enthusiastic.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, mine's going to be Bruce Willis being enthusiastic.
Yeah.
I love movies. We watch lots of them as a family, but this one was a huge disappointment.
Whoa, that's...
It's starting off vague. It's going to work up.
Hmm.
Okay.
Is it one of my movies?
It's not.
Is it Ender's Game? I really didn't enjoy that movie.
I've got our buzzer sorted out. Yours is going to be get off my plane. Mine's going to be
What was that?
Yippee-ki-yay.
Oh, okay. There's the buzzers.
Get off my Millennium Falcon.
Okay, second review for the same thing. This is supposed to be a kids movie, so why are all these cute, furry, lovable cartoon characters modeling smoking and drinking behavior? Don't buy this for your kids thinking it's good, clean fun. It's not. This is actually an adult-themed movie in kids' clothing.
Is it Fritz the Cat.
No, it's not Fritz the Cat.
One of those.
Your buzzers take too long to come in.
Yeah, I just speed up
the buzzers a bit.
Yeah.
This is actually an adult teen movie in kids' clothing. I found myself actually thinking, who is really behind this movie? Oh. The tobacco industry? The liquor industry? The liquor industry? George?
Is it the movie Cool World?
It's not Cool World.
Oh,
no,
good guess.
Good guess, I think.
Here is a... Here's another review for it. I just like this. Boring movie. Really boring. Even for my grandkids. That just implies they're kind of... My kids are... Oh, my grandkids, you know, the slow ones.
You know, we all know what dipshits they are.
They would watch paint dry.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one. One star. This was very Wes Anderson-y, and I apparently am not into that, I guess.
You became...
George...
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
It is Fantastic Mr. Fox.
There you go. You should have got that.
The liquor industry.
I did get it.
Well, spot it. He did.
I mean, early. You should have got it sooner.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is it.
No, it's. We got that one.
Willy Wonka.
Harrison. Harrison?
Harrison Factory.
You got it.
Got to get these celebrity guests, or else they always never work out properly.
Can I go now?
Okay. Your plane is coming for you.
I have to.
As soon as you hear it crash outside, it means it's time to go.
I have to catch a flight at the golf course.
I'm trying to get George to kill off Indiana Jones.
Okay. Next review.
I kind of did it with the last movie.
This is the type of talentless, dumb, pathetic tripe that makes your brain cells commit suicide one by one. The beat is crap, the vocals are crap, and the lyrics are beyond kindergarten stupid. Seeing this garbage get popular or be called best song ever makes me lose more faith in humanity.
Is it my album of Lady Gaga covers?
No, it's not, George. Harrison.
Harry Goes Gaga.
So would you like to say some of the lines of notable Lady Gaga, perhaps Poker Face?
Can't read my gin rummy face. I like to play gin rummy. Oh, wait, I see someone on a golf course I don't like.
This is absolutely the dumbest song. It belongs in a pile of poo next to Gangnam Style. What's wrong with you people?
Is it My Way by Frank Sinatra?
It's not My Way by Frank Sinatra.
Is it My Way by Limp Bizkit?
It's not My Way by Limp Bizkit.
Okay. I'm going to go.
Two more reviews. Here's a good one. It's a fun, brilliant song, but can get repetitive. But I still like it, so I gave it 3 stars because I love the song, but I don't think every moment I listen to the song, I'm not annoyed. Small moments when I'm annoyed in the chorus, even though I'm having fun, that small annoying part is what makes me so technical. But overall, I like it. Would I recommend it? Yes. That was a review written by someone who'd had like 10 cups of coffee.
An autistic robot reviewed it.
Okay, and the last review for this. Okay. That was just awful. This is even embarrassing for pop music. Clearly, they're letting us know what a fox says when it's being strangled.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay.
George?
Poker Face by Lady Gaga. What could it be?
I know, it's
possibly me.
I'm getting aroused.
If only I, George Fox, could say.
I know.
It's what the fox says.
Oh, that's it. Well done.
These are all fox-related things, by the way.
This is great, Harrison Ford. Thank you for noticing this.
George, thanks very much for coming in.
No problem.
It's been great. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? This being the 16th of May.
Come follow me on Twitter, @ComedyFox. And you can also follow me and my sketch group that I perform in with Damon Blake, which is @FoxandBlake. And you can see us doing comedy. We have some live gigs coming up. We're doing a show, the two of us together. 24th of May, going to be performing in Onshot Comedy Club. It's going to be myself and Damon Blake doing some new stuff, doing a double act of stand-up comedy.
Double act of stand-up comedy?
Yeah, so two of us on stage at the same
time.
That
is next Wednesday next week.
That is the 24th, so yes. It is.
Go along to see that, folks. Sunday. It'll be very funny. Is that it for your plugs?
Yeah.
That's it for your plugs. Sorry.
You were stayed looking at your phone?
I did. If you live in. Does anyone listen to this from Scotland?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Then you can see me performing at The Stand very soon when I'll be doing the whole weekend there.
Edinburgh
Stand. That's
a good point. Yeah. The Edinburgh Stand from the 29th till the 1st, and then you'll be able to see me hosting Red Raw in the Stand on Monday the 3rd of July as well.
Ah. There you go, so, Scottish people. I'm looking at you, Jim, our Scottish listener.
Yeah.
Go see George in the Stand.
Come say hey to
Red Raw.
Good
crack. It's cheap night.
Yes, it's like £3, £4. It's great. It's great. Brexit will hit it hard, but come along.
Yeah.
Guys.
Oh, God, imagine if Brexit's the apocalypse.
Oh, the worst apocalypse.
The administrative apocalypse.
This has been Reviewables. Goodbye.
They're recording the podcast inside the building.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.